So I know as Lee was racing through that bio, the thing that you really stopped and thought, I wish I could do that, was the Parliamentary Budget Office, wasn't it? You thought of everything else, you thought, that's the thing I really wish I had that opportunity. They do fantastic work. I shouldn't be disparaging of them. Well, thank you all for being here today. I think this is a really important piece of work that we've done, and I think we'll have a really interesting conversation about it later on. So let me quickly run you through a bit more about why we did it and then what the findings of the results are. But before I do so, can I also acknowledge that we meet on the land of the Gadigal people and just make this observation. One of the things that we are trying very much to do at CEDA is to identify areas where we think there is strong alignment and connections in this country, foundations to build on as we think about the changes and challenges that face us, but also to identify important disconnects and to have serious conversations about how we can address those disconnects. And one of the most significant disconnects that I think exists in this country is around the issue of reconciliation, the issue around the extent to which our prosperity has been shared with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is well known. But I think one of the things that we need to talk more forthrightly about is the disconnect that exists in our shared understanding of our history and what that has meant for the first Australians, but also what it means for us and how we as a nation feel about that. So wearing my Reconciliation Australia hat, it's something I'm trying to advance, but I think it's something that's important enough for all of us to be thinking about and reflecting on. In this wonderful city, next year marks the 20th anniversary of the fantastic bridge walk, when we all came together very much in the spirit of reconciliation. So it's something that will very much be on my mind in the year ahead. Now, having said all that, let's go to the task at hand. And the biggest task for me is to see if I can use the clicker. Are we using Pigeonhole?
Yeah,
okay, there we go. There we go. There I am. Ta-da. Company Pulse. So this is pretty timely, as it turns out, the work that we did. I have to say that was sort of a bit by chance. This work has been in the pipeline, as you would expect, for some time. And in fact, we were in the market surveying people in April, I think April, May this year. So the release date and the sort of public commentary around it proved to be very timely for us. But this whole issue around the role of big business, shareholder versus stakeholder, these are conversations that have been going on for some time, as summarised by some of those headlines. Interestingly, as we were sort of thinking about how we would frame this up and what we would do, ta-da, 1976, CEDA produced a report called The Social Responsibility of Corporations. And let me quote from Jeff Allen in that publication. So Jeff Allen in 1976, quote, "There is a widening gap between what business sees as its proper role and what the community is coming more to expect of it," it being business. So everything old is new again, it would seem. So it's interesting context, and there's a couple of themes that sort of will play out that I'll speak to as I go through the results from this survey. As Lee said, this is building on our community poll survey from last year, but taking a slightly different look at a different range of issues. This use of survey work and trying to see if we can get actual data on the perspectives of the community is something that we are very deliberately pursuing. We are not naive about the fact that we will not drive reform in this country if we cannot bring the community with us. And so understanding what matters to the community, understanding the things that resonate to the community, trying to connect to those aspirations and expectations, we believe is absolutely fundamental to driving reform and reform conversations in Australia. Equally, we think business has an important role to play in informing and influencing and driving reforms. You know, I think we've got tremendous businesses in this country. We've got very bright people working in them. We need to understand their perspectives on what needs to change, the challenges that they're dealing with, the new technologies that they're looking to adopt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Trying to embed a business voice into a debate is problematic, to say the least, if there is a complete lack of trust in the community, in what business is or stands for, or at the very least, very low levels of trust. Now, rather than sort of just exploring trust as this headline, what we wanted to do was to understand Well, trust fundamentally is built on a perception that a person, an organisation, is doing the right thing. Now, if there's a disconnect between what business and business leaders think is the right thing and what community expectations are, we can talk about trust until the cows come home and we're not going to improve trust. So underpinning this survey was an effort to try to put some information and data into the debate around what does the community think doing the right thing looks like, and what are the community's priorities, and equally, what are the priorities of business leaders, who we also sampled, around what they are focusing on every day in their businesses. So that's sort of the context. As Lee said, we did 3,000 people around the country. That means it's robust statistically, breaking it down by state, by gender, by demographic, by age group. It's also robust if you want to look at urban versus regional versus rural, which we did do, and I'll speak to that. Okay, headline results. And we talked about some high-level issues, and then we focused on business priorities. We asked people whether companies should be just focused on the economy and economic issues, or whether they should be focusing on broader issues like the environment and their impacts on the environment and their social impacts. Resounding result is that business should be equally, and I stress the word equally, focused on their economic, social and environmental performance. 72% of the general public agreed with that statement, and fully 88% of business leaders. So there's strong alignment, right? In my language of connect and disconnect, there is strong alignment here. We asked about the perceptions of how business was performing, and again, there was actually quite favourable perceptions of how business was performing across a very broad range of issues. Now, I can use favourable. I mean, we were sort of saying the majority of people, so strictly speaking, over 50%, but actually, I was maybe expecting this to not be quite so glass half full. On most of the areas that we flagged around performance, at least the majority of people thought big business was performing well. And that was issues like health and safety, a safe workplace, opportunities, equal opportunities, actually fair pay, fair treatment of suppliers, a really broad range of issues. And we asked employees of large businesses their views, and of course they were even more favourable about big business performance and the performance of their companies, and business leaders, not surprisingly, thought they were fantastic. Where did the community think performance wasn't great? Fair and correct tax contributions in Australia, and managing impacts on the environment. Now, both pretty topical issues. But let me say, this point about fair contributions through taxation was actually something that resonated in the 1976 work. So this is an ongoing issue. I, for one, have been a strong supporter of people, of businesses signing up to the Tax Transparency Code. Maybe that helps, but this is an ongoing issue. So then we asked what turned out to be a slightly more topical question than perhaps we thought at the time was, how do you feel about business leaders speaking out on issues? And this was actually a direct question stemming from our reading of the Edelman Trust Barometer, where the conclusion was employees trust their employers and want them to speak out. So we thought, let's ask. Let's ask employees, let's ask the wider community. And again, really strong result. Right? Roughly three quarters of people supporting business leaders speaking out on issues, including social issues and environmental issues. When we asked employees, the really interesting thing that cropped up in those results was that actually they were more supportive and accepting of business leaders in their companies speaking out on community and environmental issues, and less supportive and accepting of them speaking out on issues that related directly to the company. So issues around immigration, regulation, taxation, their comfort and acceptance, if you like, was lower for those issues than on speaking out on these broader issues of community or national interest. I think that actually sort of supports and confirms what Edelman was saying. But, and this is a big but, most in the community still believe that when company leaders are speaking out on these issues, they are speaking out in their interests, either their personal interests or the company's interests. So this whole concept of virtue signalling, I think, is kind of interesting in the context of this finding. which is if companies are doing these things for the sake of signalling their virtue, no one's believing it. So maybe you need to do it with a degree of authenticity and intention, if I could put it that way. So I think that they were pretty big headline results for us in terms of the debate that's going on at the moment. Then what we did was, and there's two slides here that are quite dense, but I'll tell you what you need to focus on here. We confronted all of our survey respondents with this whole range of different choices and options, and they were repeatedly presented with different combinations of about 30 options of things that business should be or could be focused on. And then they just have to keep answering these questions again and again, and they have to pick the thing that's the most important to them and the least important. So they can't say everything's important. And what that does is give you a distribution of what we refer to in the survey report as things that are very widely important. Many people rank them as very important or widely unimportant. And then there's a bit in the middle where either people are a bit ambivalent or there's a lot of people who think they're important and a lot of people who think they're unimportant, so they sort of cancel themselves out. So that's roughly how this bit of the survey works. Now, everything that you see up here, and so you'll see the sorts of things we were asking. What should business do? Should it be providing the highest possible quality services? Should it be providing work-life balance, training, job opportunities, wage growth? They're the sorts of things that they got presented with. All of the ones up here that are in colour, so the blue, the purple, the green, were actually issues flagged as important by both business leaders and the community in the top 10. Slightly different ordering, but actually 8 out of 10 were the same, right? The two that weren't the same were different for both groups. So there's four areas of disconnect that I'll highlight. But on the whole, there was a lot of alignment. Let me call out a couple of areas of disconnect. On the community side, not surprisingly, the community was identified two priorities that they said were very important that didn't feature in the business leaders' priorities. And those were wages growth and providing low-cost product and services. So against the backdrop that we have heard so much about in terms of stagnant wage growth and rising cost of living, that is not at all surprising. But they are not things that business leaders are flagging as being important for them as business leaders to be focusing on in their business. On the flip side, the two areas that business leaders felt were very important but the community is not at all interested in, investing in new technologies and conducting research and development. Now, when we did the community poll survey last year, this issue around R&D and investment in new tech and also actually building skills in these areas, the community also demonstrated a real complacency around those issues in that survey as well. So this is an ongoing issue. Why is it important? Well, one of the things I like to sort of highlight is that, in fact, each one of these things is each on one side of the same coin. So investment in new tech, investment in R&D, driving higher productivity is one of the things that is required to support sustainably higher wages growth in this country. So you can see both sides of the same coin, but a complete disconnect there. We probably might get asked this question, but if you want to understand why the corporate tax debate did not resonate, if you are arguing, in my view, that lower corporate taxes is necessary to support higher investment and that's good for the community is not interested. It's not resonating. Now, if you have a look in that, there's so much that's interesting. When you look in the paper, in the report, you'll see this big diagram that's got all of the different choices and how they were sort of ranked or listed in importance. I will call out one in the national survey. The bottom priority for the community was returns to shareholders. The bottom priority for business. So here, this is just another little graphic. I've gone the wrong way, have I? Oh no, here we go, that's alignments. This shows you the sort of disconnect here. So the green dot here, this is the business leaders' priorities, and the green dot here is what the general public thought,
and the blue bar, which is pretty hard for you to see, but the blue bars here are what business leaders thought. So you can see increased returns to shareholders. Why bother? New technology. I say that not as a board director, by the way. R&D. And then over here for the general public, improved staff wages and bonuses. Paid small business suppliers promptly. Also something, by the way, if you're in business and you don't treat your small business suppliers well, expect the community to be pretty antsy about that. And provide products and services at the lowest price.
So a couple of disconnects. I think this whole issue around wages is something that we're going to have to try to unpack. And I've been having some conversations. I don't know what the answer is. I do think superficially, when you reflect back on the last era of reform that people want to talk about all the time, the Hawke-Keating reforms, I'm not proposing this as a mechanism. I'm not saying we need a new accord, but the one thing that did exist was a very explicit mechanism for dealing with wages and some sort of dividend to employees in that process. And maybe that's a comment for conversation. Now, here's another little disconnect I wanted to highlight. We asked each of the groups who they thought the most important stakeholders for business were. Business leaders said, just when asked that question, the number one stakeholder for them was their customers. Okay, great. When we then posed this question, if you have a technology improvement that allows you to lower costs and you're thinking about who you provide the benefits to, all of a sudden the stakeholders shifted. And what business leaders said in response to this specific question was, you should use that benefit to increase return to shareholders. Now, this is a slightly unfair question because I know you can actually do a bit of everything if you wanted to, but I think this is troubling the community. So there's lots of talk about we need higher wages or whatever. They understand that when there are improvements, business leaders are going to distribute them in this way. And I think that's a bit of an issue, or at least a topic for conversation. Okay. Let me raise through a few more things. We asked specifically about ethical behaviour. Does the community now expect higher ethical standards of large companies? Short answer, yes. And business agrees. Business leaders agree completely. Has the ethical behaviour of large companies improved? Business leaders think yes. Community says no. Right, 46% of the community agree with that statement. Now, for what it's worth, when I sit in board meetings, I think there is a lot of conversation on this. I think there is a focus on it, and I think boards are discussing very clearly what expectations are to a greater extent than they were in the past, at least in my experience. But that is not what's being seen or heard from the perspective of the community based on our survey. Is it harder for companies to get away with unethical behaviour? Business leaders say yes, community says no. And finally, is the government taking strong action against unethical behaviour? And here there is agreement, and both business leaders and the community do not think that that is a fair statement. Now, to timestamp this was in the market being responded to before some of the response to the Hayne Royal Commission. So you may get a slightly different response. Now, one of the things... When I tell you this, you have to promise to come to next year's New South Wales launch results, all right? So when we do our survey next year, because now what I'm going to tell you is that we try to see if there are differences across the states. We always pick a couple. We always manage to find a couple, which, strictly speaking, are statistically significant. But can I just say, on the whole, my sense from the survey results is there is not a dramatically different perspective on these issues around the country. We looked at the results urban-regional, thinking that maybe there was going to be a difference. And on issues like speaking out, on issues around economic, social and environmental performance, there wasn't actually. So there's some slightly different rankings around what business should be focusing on, but I think the broad sentiment, actually, there aren't, even though I think sometimes we try to make out that there are bigger differences, I think there's actually a stronger consensus in the community. But where there was some difference, let me call it out. People in New South Wales placed a lower priority than the national average on companies reducing their impact on the environment and dealing with good work-life balance. They were slightly two-thirds still believe that companies should be equally concerned about economic, social and environmental performance, but it was statistically lower than the national average. People in New South Wales were slightly more inclined to prioritise shareholders, but still only 13% rated shareholders as the number one stakeholder for big business. So that's the sort of survey results in a nutshell. I am condensing a tremendous amount of information. If you go through the full survey report, there is actually a lot in there. I'm a nerd, so I found it interesting. But you might want to go and have a look at some of the deeper results and some of the breakdowns. And anyone who's got a deep interest in particular aspects, you know, if you want us to pursue a line of work or thinking, we can actually go through and have a look at the data and interrogate it to a greater extent than is even in the report itself. So I will leave it there.